This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, January the 30th, 2009. Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Joe Vaclavic. He's with MF Global in Chicago, Illinois. Our panelists today in studio are Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain out of Windsor, Illinois, Mike Georgie from Allendale in Mahomet, Illinois, and Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Here, the way the numbers settled in Chicago on a Friday, the 30th of January. On the weekly charts, March had a high this week in Chicago for the soft red winter wheat at $6.11. The weekly low at 566 and a quarter. Settlement price 568, down 14 and three quarters from the previous week's close. July futures at 592 and three quarters for the harvest month, down 13 and a half cents Friday to Friday. March corn at 402 and a half on the high, the low at 372 and a half, settled 11 and a half cents lower to $3.79, and December futures at $4.25, finished down 11. March soybean futures $10.41 and a half, the high, the low at $9.65, settlement price 29 cents lower Friday to Friday at $9.80, and the harvest month November contract $9.45, a settlement price there, up a penny and three quarters on the week. Live cattle from the CME Group, February contract, 83.62 and a half, the high, the low at 80.55, settled $82, down 67 and a half cents. March feeder cattle at $91, this is the new lead option on the weekly charts, Friday to Friday, down $4. Lean hog futures, February contract, $59, the high, the low at 55.70, and the settlement price at $58.50, February lean hogs down 37 and a half cents week over week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's open our discussion, gentlemen, this week with this question. We closed the month without any real direction in the grains and the oil seeds. It seems a bit unusual given recent history, but really, in far more years than not, January and February on the floor are filled with the winter doldrums. Are there fireworks waiting in the wings at this point, and could that ignite the marketplace in any way? Do you see anything possible out there, Matt Bennett?
Well, there's always something possible, but right now you kind of look around, you wonder what that might be. The last couple of years, when we're setting our insurance in the month of February, we've had a pretty good market, and I just don't see that we're going to have that sort of strong market through the month of February like we've had. I don't really know what's going to grab a hold and rally at this point.
Kurt Kimmel?
Yeah, just a lot of uncertainty out there. A lot of things to look at. There's some bullish things. There's some bearish things. It's probably going to be consolidation for a while. But as far as fireworks, well, it's going to be the Southern Hemisphere on weather. See how the weather finishes out here in the next 30 days. That'll probably be the market maker as we go into next week.
And Mike Georgie.
Well, I think that's right. I mean, you can, it's six of one, half dozen of another. What side you want to be on? There's a lot of bearish news with inventories growing. There's the attitude of we're not going to have enough corn planted. So right now they don't know, and they don't know which way to go.
You know, US EPA on this week said, hey, we're not going to do anything on the mandate just yet because the Obama administration doesn't want to act, and mostly because the Bush administration did not act. How bad, what kind of trouble might that mean for the corn market in the next month? How quickly do they need to get something done in order for traders in Chicago not to be scared?
Well, I think something has to happen fairly soon. Whenever you stop and think about the fact that crude oil has plummeted the way that it has, some of these ethanol manufacturers have been under intense amount of pressure. And, I've talked to a couple of different ones. One of them I went to college with, and he told me that they're just operating out of the spot market, trying to turn some sort of a profit. They're not operating at capacity. And I don't think you're going to find very many of them operating at capacity. And if we don't enforce this ethanol mandate, we see our residual usage come down each month. It's going to be sort of the opposite of what we've been used to the last couple of years, where our usage went up each month. I think it's scary. I think something needs to happen before too long.
How scary do you think it is, Kurt?
Well, we're still pumping up and all. We're still using it. But we need some profitability there. There's talk of another plant going down in Wisconsin. You just can't force somebody to build a plant and force them to go bankrupt. So we need to have profitability back in it. And it would help if Obama comes through with doubling the bio output within the next 3 years and having some financial help behind it.
Given that that may or may not happen, and the fundamentals that stand today, Kurt, where do you think the corn market might move through the month of February, remembering that it is crop insurance month?
Well, traditionally, it's been up. It's been real good, especially for the crop insurance guys. Seasonally, we're in a mindset in here where we've got some cycle lows due here in the next week or so. Then hopefully we can see some positive news to try the upside as we go through February. So it's going to be critical to see demand come back. But when you look at the weekly export sales report, it's just a dead dog on the export side, other than Japan picking up some corn this week.
Export market?
Well, like I said, Japan bought 231,000 metric tons of corn today. Are they going to start buying, and is that going to start the corn market going? I mean, we know we're going to plant less wheat this year. So are these countries going to start buying corn, and we're the one they're going to have to go to if they do start buying? And do you want to get in before the price goes up?
Well, do you want to get in before the price goes up? And then how do you factor in South America and the Argentine crop, which has been suffering through severe dry conditions?
I don't, it depends there again, too. It depends how you want to factor it in. I mean, they were talking last week, do we care if Argentina's corn crop's down because we're building ending stocks? So do we need all the corn that we're saying we need? The other thing is, all of the corn in Argentina, they've got a wider planting window. So they don't have all the corn in the same growth stage. So they have a possibility of still saving some of it. The early corn, the non-irrigated corn, it's gone. But there's corn in other stages that may still produce well.
Well, I agree with Mike. I think, whenever we talk about the way that we're going, whenever you look at South America, if Argentina doesn't come in and have at least a decent crop, we're talking cutting it up to a third. I've seen maybe upwards of a third, according to the government. If they are not able to export as much corn as what we've seen them do, and as well, we've seen a lot of this feed wheat is going to come to an end at some point. Maybe our exports are going to pick up. It's been nice the last 2 weeks that we haven't had basically marketing year lows for a change. We've came in and put some decent export numbers up the last 2 weeks. And, whenever you look at corn, I just have to think that you got to factor in, wide basis levels. People talk about 425 on these corn. Surely we're going to be able to still have some acreage of corn. But if you look at the basis levels and you're a farmer, you still have fairly high input prices. I don't know that that's going to spur that many guys stepping in here and getting real aggressive with a corn-on-corn rotation.
Well, let's divide this marketplace up into old and new crop and stick with corn at the moment. Are you friendly, bullish, bearish those markets?
Well, shockingly, Todd, I'm not overly bullish right now. I know that that's a rarity for me. But, my thing is realism. I talk to my clients. If you had good sales, and most of my guys had really good crops, if you go ahead and let go of your old stuff now, your average price and your average net income per acre is still excellent. And if you want to participate, you can still buy calls and replace some of that. As far as the new crop goes, you've got such a wide variety of positions that guys are sitting in. Some guys have very high inputs booked. Some guys don't have any inputs booked. It creates a whole dilemma that is different for each individual client. And I think, as far as am I bullish or bearish new crop corn, Well, I don't know. I would say right now I'm just kind of neutral. I want to kind of wait and see what's going on.
Well, let me ask it in slightly a different way and see whether I can get a response across the board. Are you more concerned, and I'm going to guess this might be the case, especially for you, Matt, about missing new crop sales opportunities than you are about bumping up old crop sales?
I would definitely say the prior. I'm worried, you know, if we pass up 4 1/4 D's corn and then we come in here with a high acreage number, and I'm not saying we will, but if we did, I think a lot of guys are going to be sitting here thinking, oh my, you know, what did I do missing out on that chance to sell corn above $4? Now, I'm not saying we're going to plummet and stay down there, but I think it's a possibility.
Kurt?
Well, as far as old crop corn, I think we're where we want to be. We like to see guys 8% sold. We'll save the rest and see what summer brings. Just hang on some cash. As far as new crop, we'll give it about 30 days. We're about ready to buy 100% put coverage on the whole 09 and just let the chips fall where they do. If we go on higher, we'll sell cash higher. If the market goes lower, we've got some downside protection.
Well, I think that's right. I think Matt was definitely right that if you do not do anything now and you get corn to $5 or even $5.50 and you don't make sales, you may have missed it. Because I don't think the upside is going to be there at one or two or three or four chances. If it's there, you better take it.
Let's talk about the monthly change in the marketplace, not in the corn because it wasn't too dramatic. It was off 17 1/4 in the March. December was down 15 3/4. That's for the monthly change, December to January. Soy complex was a bit more interesting, though the numbers weren't particularly wide given how much we usually swing. March beans were up 27 cents on the month, but the November contract, and I'll bet you maybe didn't look at this. What do you think? Was it up or down for the month?
November?
November was.
That was down?
Yeah, down. Off 38 cents for the month. And this was the marketplace, I think, most people were thinking, hey, we've got to have the beans. But if you look at it, maybe not. They're talking about 38 cents lower on the monthly trade. What's it tell you?
Well, remember, we had a lot of bull spread activity take place. It was a couple of weeks ago. All of a sudden, the front end was screaming and the back end was slow to follow. Then the last few days of the month in here, we saw unwinding of that bull spread. So the Novembers weren't quite as Brazilian as the front end.
You know, whenever you look at the beans, you know, and you look at what our stocks to usage could be this next year, if you plug in 80 million acres, which some people are plugging in, some people are even thinking it could be a little more. Of course, there's those that are less. But, you know, under a low yield scenario, you're still looking at a stocks to use ratio of 10%. A high yield scenario, I've seen as high as 25 to 30%. And I think that to me, tells me that maybe that is still, you know, that might be a fairly good price. Brazil looks like it's going to have a pretty darn good crop. Argentina, who knows? But Brazil's going to have a pretty decent crop. I think as far as soybeans go, we're not in a dire situation as far as supply goes. I think it's a fairly decent price, and there's probably those that are also thinking the same thing, and that's part of the problem, I think, with having some of the weakness we've had.
So opportunities were there and remain there for both old and new crop for beans?
I think they're still there. I think there's still a fair price.
Anybody else?
Well, old crop 08 beans, we've sold everything. And if you want to re-own them, you can re-own them with calls. The new crop beans, yeah, there's the potential there. But I think, you know, just like the world rallied when we needed more wheat, I think China is kind of positioning themselves to plant more beans this year. So how many beans are they going to buy? They're our biggest importer. So, you know, there's the world we got to look at, too, and what they're doing. And I think there's a possibility that the demand may weaken if China can talk their farmers into planting more beans.
And finally, maybe we should take up the crude oil market. I think, Kurt, you discussed it a bit up front, and so did Matt. But how concerned do we need to be about the crude oil market at this time? Has it settled down? Do we know enough about it to have any idea?
Well, crude oil, you're going to find long support down in the mid to low 30s. The thing with the crude oil is we got the back end, the premium, so we got this roll-down effect coming. So, you know, until world economies turn or OPEC gets serious and a massive production cut, we'll probably continue to see the back end keep rolling down.
Well, that'll put pressure on probably commodity markets across the board, won't it?
Well, keep a lid on it. I don't know if it'll necessarily put pressure on it. Now, if crude oil goes down to $15, $20 a barrel, it'll be different. Yeah, it'll be pressure then.
I agree with what Kurt says. And when I saw this week, you know, it's the fifth week in a row that our stocks have increased of crude oil. And I think when your inventories continue to build, and you know, OPEC has cut, but I think they're going to have to get a little more serious about cutting their production even more. I think the downside's limited in crude oil, but with $30 crude oil, it's hard to rally our energy markets at all.
Well, when do we stop worrying about the price of crude? At what price? I mean, at $40, we haven't really yet started worrying about the price of crude in terms of price of corn. When should that happen? When does it disconnect? Has the market disconnected it in some way already?
Well, we saw some divergences here the first of the year here. We saw crude oil go down and the grain market rally there. So they're divergent itself. But we need cheaper crude oil prices for a while here to help keep gas prices lower, to help to stimulate the economy.
You're listening to Commodity Week. It is a production of WILL on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. In just 2 minutes, Joe Vaclavic will join us, and he is with MF Global out of Chicago, Illinois.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. January continued to be like January this week in Illinois, as temperatures were well below normal and a major storm moved through the southern half of the state. Temperatures averaged 10 to 12 degrees below normal this week, and as we end the month, temperatures will end up being from 2 degrees below normal in the south to almost 9 degrees below normal in northwestern Illinois. Significant precipitation was confined to the southern half of Illinois this week, a storm moving out of the southern plains, the effects of which at one time stretched from central Texas to the mid-Atlantic coast, made a mess out of things in southern Illinois. Freezing rain crippled the far southern portions of the state, while sleet and snow piled up in south central and southeastern Illinois. Lawrence County received from 10 to 13 inches of snow, while 4 to 8 inches of snow fell across the rest of the region, tapering off as you headed north. After a very brief warm-up over the weekend, cold weather will return to Illinois early next week. Changes will come fast, however, and the weather will moderate toward the end of the week, with perhaps a big warm-up by next weekend. A storm could brush southern Illinois on Monday with some snow, with flurries further north, but otherwise most of next week should be dry. For the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, January the 30th, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists in studio are Mike Georgie of Allendale out of Mahomet, Illinois, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain from Windsor, Illinois. Our guest is Joe Vaclavic, and he's a broker with MF Global, specializing in agricultural futures markets, and the co-founder of the Advantage Grain Wire, where he writes the daily Advantage Grain Wire report. Joe works with farmers, feedlots, and other grain-based operations in developing cash marketing and hedging strategies. And always, as always, rather, one of our favorite things to note, Joe's a graduate from the University of Illinois with a degree in agribusiness, farm, and financial management. Joe, thanks for being on the show.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me, guys.
What's the condition in Chicago this week, and how have the winter blues set in? It seems like things have settled down immensely.
It was kind of a dull week, to say the least. You know, not a whole lot of action in the markets. I think I looked at my screen at one point for an hour today, and we didn't have more of a 2 or 3 cent range in anything. So yeah, a little dull. It seems like maybe the weather's getting to us a little bit up here.
Joe, Matt Bennett here. When we're talking about the corn market, you talk to clients, say that you working with a guy that produces a lot of corn. You know, on swing acreage this year, for someone that maybe hasn't purchased their inputs, what do you tell a guy? What's your idea as far as where this corn market's headed? What kind of upside potential might we have?
Well, you know, something with regards to acreage, as always, it's a tricky situation because, you know, what you plant now and you know, what those prices are aren't necessarily guaranteed to you at a later date. As of right now, you know, the market's telling you to go ahead and plant beans. I mean, you know, you look at new crop bean prices versus new crop corn prices, and you know, they're basically saying, all right, we're gonna pay you pretty well to plant beans right now. And corn, I think there's, you know, a lot of guys kind of teetering on the edge of profitability right now. So, you know, it's a tough call. I've been telling guys, you know, go with your normal rotation. Stick with, you know, if you're a 50-50, you know, type deal, and that's what you usually do, I think I'd stick with that. You know, if you want to go ahead and plant some more beans and you can lock in some prices and lock in your inputs, then that's fine. But I don't really think I want to go overboard one way or the other this year.
Joe, what's your assessment of South America? Is it as bad as the media is letting on?
Apparently, you know, something, we get these new estimates coming across the wires, you know, a couple times a week, it seems like. And, you know, I mean, they're telling us straight out what's going on. I mean, their production estimates are far below what the USDA is telling us. I think we're looking at something like, you know, 10 million metric tons of beans below current USDA projections, just something like 25%. So, yeah, I think it's pretty bad down there. But just like one of the guys was saying earlier, you know, something, we're building carryouts up here right now. And I don't know if the market is all too concerned with it or not. You know, maybe it is a legit concern, but, you know, maybe it's just one of these things that the market likes to talk about but really doesn't mean a whole lot right now.
I'm sorry. Didn't mean to cut you off there.
I'll go ahead.
You know, I think that's everybody concerned. They're thinking, I'm going to plant corn because we're not going to get the acres, and corn's going to go back up to $7 a bushel, and we're going to see a great demand for it. But, you know, we see the buildup in exports. What's going to be the breaking point of how many less acres do we really need to maybe have that play out?
You know, it depends on what kind of figuring you do. The best numbers I've seen, and I don't have them in front of me here, but from what I've seen, we can tolerate a 3 or 4 million acre loss in corn and probably not have a huge problem until, you know, the middle of 2010. Is kind of what it looks like to me right now, and granted, that's based on the Argentina production and Brazilian production, and of course, if we get some kind of return to, you know, big demand here. But I think we can tolerate a pretty decent acreage loss in corn and still not, you know, have a huge supply issue. You know, we're looking at, you know, between a 1.7 and 1.8, you know, carryout right now. And that's a number that may go up or down, but I think that most traders and anybody who's watching this thing pretty closely is probably pretty comfortable with those supply levels.
So kind of a follow-up here. If we're going to have 3.9 or 4 million less acres of wheat, do you have any idea is that going to all go into beans, or is there, what's your split on it?
Well, you know, something, it's you know, I think wheat farmers are probably kind of lukewarm right now on what's going on with the market, it seems like. You know, yeah, we saw those, you know, drastically higher prices there last year. And, yeah, we're going to lose some wheat acres. And, you know, if you have the ability to plant beans, I would certainly advise a guy to go ahead and do so if you're going to, you know, if that's going to be more profitable for you than planting wheat. And the acreage situation goes along with what you guys were talking about earlier. You know, do you have your inputs locked in? You know, and I think that's the biggest thing for right now, especially when you're talking about planting beans this spring.
Can you take up on the corn market, the primary usages, and how you view them at this point? So how do you view the ethanol market? How do you view the livestock market domestically, and then the export market?
Well, the ethanol market, first off, I mean, obviously that's what the big boom was all about. We're using a third of our corn crop roughly for ethanol. I think it's a market that's not going away anytime soon. You know, everyone, I hear so many people say that, oh, you know, ethanol is such a bad thing and it's, you know, it's going down. It's not an efficient industry. But, you know, bottom line is as long as these government mandates are there, you know, I think ethanol will be there. I think to address the issue of all these plants that are having financial issues, I think at some point you're going to see somebody swoop in and buy these things up for pennies on the dollar. And, you know, they're going to be, you know, producing ethanol profitably. And whether or not that continues forever, I don't know. But I think for the next couple of years, you know, it's safe to say that demand's going to be there and it's going to grow. As far as exports go, bean exports were ahead of schedule as far as what, you know, the USDA is telling us so far. I think we're ahead of pace by just a little bit. Corn exports were, I think, right now on pace to do about 40% less than what we did last year. Now, the USDA is also projecting that we're going to have lower export numbers. I think their numbers only by about 25 or 30% less. So corn exports is kind of a big factor here, guys, I think. You know, if those numbers don't start to pick up over the next, you know, month to 2 months, I'm going to start to get a little worried there.
Joe, you know, you hear about farmers being fairly tight-fisted with the remaining inventory. And, you know, if you're talking to a client that maybe is sitting on a fair amount of corn that wants to re-own it, what kind of a strategy would you recommend?
Well, you know, I've had that same conversation many, many times over the last few weeks. And I think, you know, as a farmer, if you're holding grain right now, I think the first thing you've got to do is just get $8 corn and $16 beans out of the back of your mind. Because, you know, I don't think you're going to see it again this year. Maybe you see it next year. Maybe you see it down the road again. But I think that you need to get those big, you know, they were realistic at one point. I don't know if they're necessarily realistic right now. I think you got to go ahead, you know, get those numbers out of the back of your head. I think with old crop, you know, production, like one of you guys said earlier, if you've got some stuff that you sold up at, you know, $6 or $7 in corn, and you got some beans that you sold up at, you know, $12, $13, you know, even, you know, up above 11, and you know, you make some old crop sales now that you're going to be all right with your average. Yeah, I think you go ahead and you know, open those bin doors and sell a few things. And I would certainly recommend re-owning it, though. You know, option volatility, as a matter of fact, on the board was down huge this week. You can buy March and May options, call options for beans and corn for significantly less than you could have just a week ago.
Joe, what's your best new crop strategy?
Best new crop strategy? Haven't sold anything yet. I'm kind of waiting this thing out for a little while, you know. And, you know, if history repeats itself, they usually don't pay us to sell anything at the end of January. I'd like to see if we can wait and get a nice spring rally sometime in March.
Do you have any kind of upside or downside projection as kind of the you know, you're not going to see 16, you're not going to see 8, are we going to see 6 and 12 on new crop, or?
Well, you know something, I have a tough time being really bullish the corn market right now. The bean market, I think old crop beans in particular, do have a little bit of a story. But bottom line here, I think we're going to get a nice increase in bean acreage, and I think that's why you've seen that weakness, you know, in that new crop bean contract. At the same time, you know, I think we're sitting all right as far as supplies go in corn. Like you guys were saying there, I kind of look for a choppy market here for the next, you know, month or two. I see a lot of factors pushing and pulling at this thing. You know, you've got, of course, you've got the Argentina weather situation, but at the same time, it seems like we're swimming in corn here in the U.S. right now. So I think that we might be range bound to even maybe a little bit lower here over the next month. But I do think at some point you'll get a nice spring rally to sell and then new crop corn.
Joe, thanks for being on the show.
I really appreciate it, guys. I hope to be back sometime.
All right. Joe Vaclavic is with MF Global. He's a broker in Chicago, Illinois. Time now for a final word from our folks in studio, Matt Bennett of Bennett Grain.
I'd just like everybody to keep in mind that we've had a pretty good year behind us. And if you had good sales, you know, don't be afraid to maybe make some sales and re-own it.
Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities.
Yeah, Joe hit on the head. $8 corn, $16 beans. That's in the past. We got to look forward here.
Mike Georgie of Allendale.
I agree. It's going to be a wild market, and if you can lock in some profits, definitely do it.
And that wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, you can always access this Commodity Week program and analysis throughout the week on demand on your computer. Our site on the World Wide Web is willag.org. That's willag.org. You have a great week. I'm Todd Gleason.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.